Thank you, Jenny. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have access to you through the same Spirit. No matter where we come from, no matter our nationality, no matter whether we're rich or poor, whether we think we're clever or not, you unite us in Jesus. Speak to us again by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. In the year 2002, American singer and civil rights activist Maya Angelou said this: "In the morning you get up and think, 'Lord, help me. I want to live a Christian life which is kind. I want to be soft-voiced. I want to be peace-searching. I want to be generous. I want to be healing. Lord, help me.' And then in the evening, when you check yourself out, you think, 'I only blew it 80 times. I think we can all resonate with that. We are on a quest to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And a fruit doesn't grow overnight. All the gardeners in this church, they will know that. It doesn't happen overnight. Some days we'll do better. Some days we'll do worse. Some days we'll think we've blown it more than 80 times. But if we make space for God's Spirit, he will grow his fruit in our lives. He will make us more like Jesus. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we unpeeled the tangerine and found the segments, which are all part of the same fruit. And today's segment of the tangerine, of the fruit of the Spirit, is peace. Peace. What's in a word? For the first time in many years, the leaders of North and South Korea met in the demilitarized zone, in the so-called House of Peace. Peace in our time? The verdict is out. A few weeks ago, the Syrian civil war entered its 8th year. Will there ever be peace? Here are some other examples how we use the word peace. After the inner city riots, swift police action restored the peace. She talked it all through with her best friend, and as a result, she felt a deep inner peace. I love talking to my granddad. He's a man at peace with the world. Leave me in peace. And finally, a real exchange I had with someone a few years ago. Are you a happy clappy church? My response: that depends what you mean by happy clappy. Well, do you share the peace? Peace is a rare commodity in our world, whether that's peace with and in ourselves, peace with other people, peace between nations, peace with God. And today I want to reflect with you on three things: peace with God, the peace of God, and then the spiritual fruit of peace. So here's a summary. It is peace with God that enables us to receive the peace of God. And as we allow the spiritual fruit of peace to grow in our lives, we will be people of peace, world changers, little by little. The Old Testament word for peace is a beautiful word. You will have heard it before: shalom. Shalom means so much more than just the absence of hostilities. Shalom is all-round well-being, freedom from fear or want, and contentment in our relationship with God, with others, with creation. That's what we long for. That's what we're made for. The longing is placed in our souls by God. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about man and woman being made in God's image. But then sin destroys this shalom. People made and loved by God are seduced to rebel against him. And a deep chasm opens up between them and God, between one another, and between them and the world they live in. And as a result, pain and conflict and death enter their lives. Shalom is broken. Throughout the Old Testament, we can see this cry to God, restore your shalom, bring us back into your family, make peace. It's reflected in the psalm we heard a little bit earlier. The prophets announce the coming of a prince of peace who will usher in a kingdom that will restore his shalom. When Jesus is born in Bethlehem, a chorus of angels sings to shepherds, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Thank you. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Jesus lives the human life that we were meant to live, but couldn't. He has this deep satisfaction in his relationship with his heavenly Father, complete trust in him, even as he approaches his death on the cross. He trusts his Father. And that death of Jesus, Jesus the God-man, heals the rift. Peace with God is possible again. Jesus becomes the bridge between us and God. And that bridge is cross-shaped. When we look at the cross, we see how God gave himself in the person of Jesus so that we can be at peace with him, sons and daughters of God. And that is more than a feeling. That's a spiritual reality. It's not dependent on how I feel when I get out of bed in the morning. It's not dependent on how I feel when I read an email that raises my blood pressure. It's not dependent on how I feel when I listen to the news and I despair of the state of the world. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who bridges the chasm between us and God. Shalom is possible. That's what St. Paul says in our second reading. Through his cross, Jesus has reconciled us to God. And Susan, this is the peace with God that we celebrate in baptism. You walked across the bridge that is Jesus to become a member of the family of God, to come home to God, to receive forgiveness through his death and resurrection. And because of Jesus, you are at peace with God, and that's not dependent on your feelings. That's a reality. During my vicar training, I spent a day in Pentonville High Security Prison, just as a visitor, I assure you. And it was a very moving experience, because one of the things we did during that day, we met with a group of prisoners who had done the Alpha course, inmates who had met Jesus and begun to follow him. And together with them, we sang Amazing Grace with that new chorus that we sometimes use here, My Chains Are Gone. Here were people who often still had years of their sentence ahead of them, who'd done all sorts of terrible things, and they sang their hearts out in a way that you rarely hear in a church. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has rescued, ransomed me. They understood the price that Jesus paid to ransom them from the dark side, to make them sons of God and friends of Jesus, no matter what they'd done. And they knew this was a fact that they could build the rest of their lives on, in or out of prison. And that peace with God is the source of the peace of God that God wants us to receive. The Bible says it's a quality of peace that passes our understanding. We can't get our head around it. When we know that we are loved by God, completely forgiven, that we can never fall out of God's hands, that our future is secure with him, that death will be the gateway into his glorious presence, we can begin to live lives marked by peace, a peace of mind, a freedom from anxiety. Now, I don't have to tell you that anxieties and worries are a massive issue today. And while techniques such as mindfulness can be very helpful, in the end, they are self-generated. We try to find that peace within ourselves. God offers us a peace that is not of this world, beyond our understanding. And it changes our whole outlook on life. God loves me. He has given his all for me. I'm totally secure in that love. St. Paul writes, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Therefore, I can live with abandon, not look over my shoulder all the time, although I quite look like looking over my shoulder in this case, not constantly checking over my shoulder, not anxious constantly about my status or my rank, compare myself with others, not anxious all the time about a scary illness that might just be around the corner. Instead, I can look out for others. Care for the last, the lost, the least. Not worry about the cost. Jesus says, those who lose their life for Christ's sake will win it. And again, Susan, that's what happens in baptism. The symbolism of baptism is, my old life is dead, crucified with Jesus, and he gives me new life that nothing and no one can take from me, not even death. The peace of God. Now, before we go to the third part, two quick comments which hopefully are helpful. Firstly, sometimes we have to fight for this peace of God because God's enemy loves trying to steal it from us. I have times when I'm unsettled, worried, restless, peaceless. I have to declare the truth that I belong to Jesus, that peace with God is therefore mine, and that God's enemy has to back off. The letter of James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We choose not to worry, to pray, to trust God. And the second comment is, just as there is illness of the body, there is illness of the mind and of the emotions. There are various reasons, chemical imbalances, trauma from the past, and just as we treat physical illness, we need to treat them as well. It's not unspiritual, it's not weak. At Spring Harvest, a woman from North Korea shared her life story. North Korea is the country where it's hardest to follow Jesus. She told us how she spent years of her life in a prison camp because of her faith, how she managed even there to share her faith in Jesus and to form a little church. And then she sang for us Amazing Grace in Korean. She went through hell, but she had the peace of God, a priceless treasure. It's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And so finally, the spiritual fruit of peace. Notice that the spiritual fruit is not for selfish pleasure. I'm going to have this tangerine all to myself. It's for sharing. It has the power to transform our world. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. As those who know the peace of God, we share his peace. We live it every moment. God calls us to live at peace with others and to work for peace among Christians and in the wider world. St. Francis of Assisi famously prayed, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace." What does that look like? How can we cultivate this fruit? Here are some very effective fertilizers. Firstly, make time for stillness in God's presence, silence, meditation on His word, prayer, worship. Immerse yourself in His peace. Secondly, don't paper over conflict, but learn to speak the truth in love. It's not easy, but that's what God is asking us to do. Thirdly, seek to resolve conflicts by going the extra mile. Take time to listen, to walk in someone else's shoes, to pray for them, to seek wise counsel. Fourth, try to avoid words and attitudes that can easily create hurt, misunderstanding, division. Be slow to speak and slow to anger, says the letter of James. Fifthly, be quick to apologize. Even if you think that the other person has a lot more to say sorry for than yourself. Swallow your pride. Own your part in the conflict. And lastly, avoid all kinds of gossip. Never say anything about someone else that you wouldn't be prepared to say with them in the room. Never say anything about someone else that you wouldn't be prepared to say in their presence. That's a hard one. I find that hard, because sometimes it feels so good to let off steam. The letter of James again. The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. We are amazing, us human beings. We have sent people to the moon. We have cloned animals. But true peace, shalom, is something we can't manufacture in a broken world. It's a gift from God through Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So what about this sharing of the peace in church? Well, it's a wonderful way of saying to our fellow Christians, may the fruit of peace ripen in your life. May you transform the world with it, bit by bit, day by day, until the Prince of Peace, Jesus, returns and establishes his perfect kingdom of peace. Imagine what might happen if we stopped moaning about the peaceless state of the world and started to do everything in our power to transform our relationships with the peace of Christ. And so, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Always with you.
Amen.